You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Good morning, good evening, good day. Whatever it is for you, make it good. My name is Paul, and welcome to another friendly episode of Ask Drone You.
Friendly indeed, and my name is Rob, and so happy to be back in the saddle, hanging with Paul,
yeah.
Chilling with you. Thank you for chilling with us. Appreciate it. Going to hopefully bring you some valuable info that you can put to use and improve your life a little bit.
That's true. So recently, I saw Miss Kim Players, Drone U member, and I actually want to get her more involved here at Drone U. I want to have her on the show. But she was saying, you know, all right, she's like, my fearless leaders, this was in the Drone U community. She's like, what do I need to do to get ready to pass my Part 107? And Matthew Schaefer, who's a Drone U elite pilot, he's running trainings out of Salt Lake City right now. He said, you really just need to go in, into the site, watch Ted's ground school class. And I know it's organized really randomly because I had filmed this class with him before we had actually like fully produced a class.
Right.
And he's like, you just need to go watch that and you'll be good. And then I commented on it.
Are you talking about the recurrence?
Yeah, the Part 107 recurrency test. Yeah. And I went in there and I said, Matthew Schaefer just gave you the best information. I was like, but also take the online quizzes that we have, get 90% on those questions. And once you get 90%, you'll be fine. I actually haven't heard of a single member failing yet. So that's good. That being said,
and they do tend to tell us if they fail, right?
Oh, yeah.
So because we've had two or three is
tops
over the years.
You can
that
count
I can
them
remember.
On one hand.
Yep.
From the 20,000 that have gone through our school. Anyway, numbers, right? So it's kind of like my accuracy on the last math I did. 0.00. Oh, we did some cut and fill reporting last Friday. I had a 0.01 RMS error. We're really excited about that. So, all right, here's today's Part 107 question. For those of you who are getting ready for your recurrency exam, which now has extreme amount of value since the law has changed, and 107 is now going to be like the easy guidelines for flying. So, the weather report lists the ceiling is at 800 feet. What is the highest you can operate your SUAS? This really is not a very good question. It's not really phonetically good either. It's like a Trump question. The weather report lists ceiling is at 800 feet. What's the highest your SUAS can go? Like, there's no detail. Like, it should be specific. Like, the weather report lists that the ceiling is 800 feet in your area.
It's almost
what
like
is
a trick
the highest
question.
Altitude that you can operate your SUAS while flying? Right.
So that's just like to throw you to put that in there, right?
Yeah.
It's four, isn't it 400?
But wait a minute.
Am I misunderstanding?
What are our minimum distances from clouds?
Oh gosh, I fail.
All right. Well, that's the second question that Rob got wrong. All right. I'm gonna list the question and then the answers because I just realized I didn't list the answer. So the weather report lists that the ceiling is at 800 feet. What is the highest you can operate your SUAS?
800 feet.
200 feet AGL. 800 feet AGL or 300 feet AGL.
Oh, because we've got to stay some distance from the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? I have no idea what that distance is, though. I'm going to say 500 feet from the clouds, so 300.
Did you look at my phone?
How?
You do have to stay 500 feet below the clouds, which, by the way, it's so funny.
I learned something today. I didn't know that.
It's so funny. In the last class, we did a 107 class with this construction firm, and this guy's like, so what if I'm standing at Cochiti Hill or Sandia Peak, and yeah, the ceiling is 800 feet, and I'm 5,000 feet over it because I'm on
right.
a mountain. And I was like, well, you got 500 feet of distance, right? So, oh man. So anyway, the answer to that question is C, 300 feet AGL, as you need a 500 foot clearance from the clouds.
Awesome.
So, but my point of saying that is that there's always instances where, you know, the rule is going to be questionable, you know, and you have to use your best judgment, which
Absolutely.
Is what 107 is all about. But what I continue to tell people, and if you're starting a drone team or you know someone who's starting a drone team, I will continue to say this, educate, educate, educate. Don't spend a lot of money on equipment. You've heard other really experienced operators come on here onto the show and tell you that. I agree. In addition, you need to know that what you learn for part 107 has very little to nothing to do with actually practically flying a drone and what you need to know to do so safely. So understand that, guys. There's limitations to that. But on that bombshell, we're going to move forward and get into today's question, which is brought to you by our friends at the DroneU community. If you're not a part of the DroneU community, check out the DroneU community when you become a member. You can try it for $1 right now, just $1. You can take a look behind the curtain. You can check out a lot of classes that are there. Look, maybe you got a drone because you love to take pictures, but what if you could get measurements from those pictures? What if you could learn the nuances from experienced business owners so you don't make the same hiccups and mistakes that other business owners have made? Look, you don't have to lose everything to learn the right way to do it. You can learn from others. That's why we made DroneU. So if you're not a member, or maybe you've been a member in the past, and you're just like, man, there's not enough content. Well, I would say that there's enough content now with 34 classes. The business course just launched. I think it was 11 hours for just one section. So there's plenty of stuff on there. Check it out. Just go to droneu.education to sign up today.
Hi, guys. My name is Ben. I'm from Maryland. I've been a Part 107 pilot for about a year now. My day job is in construction project management. I use the drone on a regular basis, to get some 3D models, site measurements, some progress photos internally with the company I work for. I also have a side business doing videography and photography with drones and DSLR cameras. Recently, I've come across a few situations where I've been undercut by the guy who gives away his services for free. Just today, I lost an $800 job, to a guy that's willing to work for no money. Kind of insane, looking to see what you guys' thoughts are on this. I mean, I wouldn't work for free. Anyway, just let me know what you guys think. Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Ben. Really, really appreciate it. And guys, don't forget, if you have a question like Ben did, go to askdroneu.com. And this is a tough one. It's hard to know why this guy's doing this. I guess there's a broader question than there's a more detailed question as to maybe this is just a guy who's trying to break in. And so it's not really indicative of what's going on in the market. If it's what's going on in the market, that's a bigger issue.
It is a bigger issue.
So, I don't know.
But I also have to say, look, we've sat here and we have told new operators how to break in and do exactly what this guy is fighting. And now I feel like we're going back and we're saying, okay, if you're an existing operator, here's what you need to do in order to retain the client. And for some people that may be like, well, why are they doing this? It's kind of contradictory. But the way that I thought about it this morning, we went for a morning walk. We do a morning walk before we record our set of episodes for the week. And I was talking, I said, you know what, Rob, these guys need to understand that if you're a good salesman and you understand how sales works and you understand what you need to really do to incentivize people and to educate people, there's no challenge that is going to put you to a point of extinction, right? There is no challenge for a good salesman that's going to put you to a point of extinction.
In fact, the challenges will push you to be better.
Agreed, 100%. We are only, think of it like a video game, right? This is what I tell the younger kids below me when they're struggling through some of these obstacles and whatnot. And the idea is that you got to think of it like a video game. You're leveling up, and each time you level up, it's going to get a little bit harder, but then you're going to get a little bit more confident about what you can take. You're also going to get a little bit more emotionally intelligent, which is something that I think is one of the most valuable characteristics, no matter what your job is.
Absolutely. And I think the emotional intelligence factor in this particular scenario, if we're talking very specifically about being in the scenario that you just described, one is to concentrate on maintaining the relationship with that potential client or that previous client. You didn't say whether it was a job that you've worked on before or if it's a new client, but regardless, you sound like you have a lot of experience.
Sound like he's got a decent amount of experience.
Correct. It sounds like you've been flying quite a bit and you fly for your day job, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to assume that you do good work. We're going to also assume that the person who's willing to work for free is breaking in or for some other reason is working for free. Could be that their quality is just not there yet. And so ultimately, you want to maintain a very solid relationship with that potential client because there's a good chance they're not going to be happy with the product that they receive. And so I think part of the skill set in terms of the sales and so forth is being very subtle in how you set them up for that to happen and set them up to come back to you. right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going all Chris Voss on this thing right now. In my mind, I'm like, okay, if I'm sitting there in front of a client, which this has happened to me before, what? Okay, because it's happened to me. The clients have come back, and I'm like, right. I'm like, okay, so now knowing the entire sequence of what's going to happen, how would I go about it? And like, imagine that you're the client. Right. And I mean, just go for it. Let's role play. Let's do this.
And by the way, I don't think you can blame the client if they've not experienced what they're about to experience before. Well, then how have they learned?
Exactly.
So they're just trying to save money and be frugal.
Yeah. Okay. So this is how I would go about it. And I think this is really important because we're going to focus on a couple things. Maintaining the relationship so that the client is figuring out why are you so focused on maintaining the relationship rather than focusing on what's at hand. We're also going to help showcase the typical cyclical nature of these things and how they happen. We're going to also just essentially show no emotion whatsoever and just say, well, you know, like I really want to make sure that you're happy. So keep my name around. So, all right, let's go into this. We're going to have some fun with this.
All right.
Rob is a Mr. Construction Project Engineer. And let's say
budget's tight.
It sounds like it could be a mapping job. If it was $800, I wonder like what if he was doing a 3D model. So I'm going to go with he is doing a 3D model.
Okay.
That way I can use that for my education route because like I've said in the past, you know, in the book, like How to Be a Rainmaker, they say don't educate your clients, but I think you have to do a little bit of education in today's day and age. I mean, I'm doing that right now with a client. Last Friday morning, I flew a construction site just to see like, hey, this is how fast this works. This is how we do it. And this is the information you're going to get. Okay, cool. Bye.
Right.
You know, all right, let's role play. You're a construction manager, project engineer.
Okay.
I'm Paul, in case you didn't know. All right.
I'm Bob.
All right, Bob. Hey, Bob. Good morning. I'm here to get some more measurements for you. Looking forward to doing this map. A really cool site you got going on this morning.
So did we not let you know that we decided to go with a different pilot?
Unfortunately, no. Oh, I don't believe that I read that memo. So
my assistant was supposed to reach out to you. I really apologize. There's some guy who's said that he would do it for nothing.
He and would do the project for nothing.
Yeah, I know. I was as surprised as you are, but what am I supposed to do?
Well, you got to give the guy props, right? And first of all, Bob, I really appreciate you just being upfront and honest with me.
Sure,
and
kind of telling me you should have known before now.
Yeah, but it's very gracious of you to do something like that. So
no problem.
I really appreciate it.
Of course.
And you know, Rob, I've had this happen to me before. And you got to give it to the guy, right? He's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to break into the industry. He's trying to give you, you know, a free product. And that's awesome, right? He wants to gain credibility and authority with you, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good idea.
Well, and from everything I've heard, it's not that hard, right? You just throw the drone up in the air and then you put the information into a computer and it spits out what we need, so doesn't seem like it's that big a deal.
I understand it may look really easy to run autonomous missions to do these mapping jobs, but here's the thing. If they're not following this formulaic process of getting GCPs, georeferencing their map, utilizing orthorectification, understanding the importance of ground sampling distance, you know, all these things that involve the formula of getting not only a good-looking model, but an accurate model. And here's the thing, Rob. I think you should, you know, work with this guy. You know, I've gone through this before, but I want to make sure that you're happy. So if you're
if you're
looking at your deliverables and you're questioning the accuracy or you're questioning the look of this or that, just know, don't be afraid to call me, man. I'm here for you. I'm here to help you. Like I said, I've been through this before. Clients have done this. They've come back to me and said, look, we tried this other guy and we realized that you have a system. You do it efficiently. You get it done on time. You do it consistently and we don't have time for mess ups. So typically, you know, I've worked with guys like you before, Rob, and I mean, Bob, you're a great guy. You're a very awesome guy. Like I said, you're very gracious for telling me this and I appreciate it. And in response, look, if I can help out in any way possible, let me know. I'd love to hear
Thank
how
you.
This guy performs for you. But you know, when, if you're ever questioning quality and you're ready to get back into an efficient system, just let me know. I'd be super happy.
Well, thank you
to be back.
For that offer. And I think we'll give him a try. But if something goes awry for whatever reason, I appreciate knowing that you'll be there.
Yeah, and if you run into any issues like the fact that he's not Part 107 licensed, or he doesn't have clearance for the airspace, or he's not insured, or you know he flies nefariously and you get a fine for it, just make sure you run through those things with him you fly, okay? So those are really important. I just recently saw another client get an $11,000 fine, came up on our most recent FOIA request, and now that the FAA has more teeth, I'm just trying to, all the people that I like, I'm trying to be like, just be careful, because and for a long time, people were getting away with doing pretty much whatever they want. But with the law change in Section 447, you know, like, we're really changing things, 347, excuse me. So that being said, Bob, because I like you, I think you're really cool. I love your hairdo, especially. dude, if you need anything, just let me know.
I appreciate that. Will do.
Enjoy.
No, that's good. I mean, I think you gave him a lot to think about. I was actually thinking as you're talking, what do you think about a follow-up email that says, hey, I just was thinking about you, and I want to make sure you ask this guy about all of these things. Make sure he's got this, 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 and this. Make sure he's thought of this, 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 and this. Because you rattled a bunch of stuff off, which definitely would make the person think and go, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap, right?
That's the idea.
I know it is, and I know that's what you were doing. But
I'm also using terms and vocabulary and vernacular that are actually true to the formulaic nature of drone mapping.
Absolutely. But as soon as that conversation is over, I suppose it was in a phone call, whatever, he's not going to remember all those terms that you just rolled off.
True.
And so while he might still have some questions in his mind, he's not going to have them such that he could go ask this guy. Therefore, some sort of gracious follow-up might help him do that.
Right. You just actually said another great Chris Voss thing. Start with no, right? I mean, like, and how are you going to end it, right? Because you're saying you want to get essentially, gosh, my mind's on fire right now. you bring up a great point, because you want to finish that conversation with, would you mind if I sent you an email with all the systematic features that you should be aware of in order to do a proper drone job?
Yeah, right? Of course.
So here's the thing. You also, in that email, do not want to give too much information to let the other pilot, you know, essentially follow these things line by line and do them. Like, for example, is the pilot insured, right? Instead of, can you get a certificate of insurance from the pilot to protect you and the insurance company against liabilities, right? So it's not just, does he have insurance, but are you able to get a certificate of insurance ahead of time, right?
With you named as additional insured,
exactly.
Et cetera.
Exactly, because there's only one company that will do that with on-demand insurance, and that's Skywatch. So it's like, you know, it just gets me. You got to be really careful about how you use those questions. But the key here, guys, is that you have to be confident. You have to know that your quality is better than the other guys. And if you're not constantly focusing on growing yourself, getting that lifelong learning kind of ideology so that you're always learning new things, progressing yourself, creating better deliverables. If you're not doing that, right, ask yourself, who is? Who is doing it? I mean,
somebody is.
Correct. Recently, we fired someone at DroneU because they were not doing that. They were not going above and beyond to continue to learn, to better themselves so that they could better their own product. And that's something that we just here at DroneU, look, we have a higher standard of people than I think a lot of other companies. And if you are not doing that, you do not have a authentic desire to do that, I don't want to work with you. Because I want to work with someone who's open-minded, willing to learn, not afraid, you know, to have, what is it called, constructive criticism and, you know, what else would you call it? Combative communication. They can't be afraid to sit there and say, well, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, but I believe that you're wrong and here's why.
Sure.
And without being emotional about it. So there is so much at the end of the call. Okay. Let me stop at the end of the call. If you say would you mind if I sent you an email to list all the things that I think would be important for you to protect yourself? And he's obviously going to say yes.
He'd be a fool to say no.
Yeah, and if he says no, you know you don't want to work with him ever again.
Seriously.
Boom, red flag.
Yeah.
So like these interactions and opportunities are actually great for you, but You know, a lot. I know a lot of the drone groups have actually filled up with a bunch of keyboard warriors who have not been focusing on growing themselves, their business, focusing on quality, focusing on their niche, focusing on building relationships, and they're bitching about other people who are going above and beyond to build these relationships. And yes, we have helped those people. The guy who called in asked this question, right? He's having a problem with a noob who's literally using our advice, right? I mean, it's literally that's by our playbook, right? So on the other end of the spectrum, though, you as an established, experienced operator, you've got to have that emotional intelligence. You've got to have the ability to educate your client in a way that doesn't put them down. Okay, you can't be like, you're an idiot because you don't know drone mapping.
Yeah, you don't want to make them feel stupid for the decision that they're making. Correct. That's not the idea here.
Correct. We want to use some of the philosophies and ideologies of, again, Chris Foss, the master of negotiation, to start with building them up, saying thank you, being grateful, which honestly, like if that were to happen to me, I would be grateful legitimately for him telling me we're going with someone else because that's giving you an opportunity. That person is leaving the door open for you to be like, whoa, wait a minute here, Bubba. So, I mean, this is great. You got to be grateful for that and you got to communicate that. Then go into, make sure they're doing X, Y, and Z. And this is why, guys, you know, when you're out there doing these jobs, you cannot make it look easy. Explain, talk about things. I mean, like just with a client this morning, right? And I actually put a video in the Facebook, the Drone U Facebook community. And I said, you know, here's how you do volume measurements. And I did it from the top down, how most people teach other people how to do it. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. How are we sure that we're actually measuring the bottom of the stockpile? Mm-hmm. And so I zoomed in, looked, and there's this big green line. And it's like, see, we're not measuring the whole pile.
Interesting.
There's always levels of depth to everything because so many people are focused on doing it fast and getting it done. They're not focused on doing it right and having quality and then taking the time to explain that to their client. That long-term strategy is the strategy for success over a lifetime. If you want short, quick, in and out, dirty, blah, 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 go do real estate videos. Have fun.
Yeah, and in this particular case, even if for whatever reason you don't get this client is probably going to, literally, they're going to think of you first just because of that conversation, how you helped them and what you sent them. If somebody asks them or if they have an opportunity to refer somebody or tell somebody about someone who does what you do, they're probably going to tell them about you before they're going to tell them about the guy that did it for you for free.
I would pull a PJ too. I'd send him a freaking thank you card. Yeah. I'd be like, here's a teddy bear.
And a shirt and some chocolates and a pretzel and a...
I'd be like, here are two tickets to the Isotopes game. I would buy you football tickets, but the Lobos suck.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I went to a game this weekend. Never buying football tickets at UNM ever again. I mean, the screen didn't work. No one was there. No one was partying. No one was tailgating. It was lame.
It's so sad.
It was so lame.
All right. So on that downer.
We're not going to end on the downer. We're going to end on optimism because this guy has a huge opportunity, right? If he can showcase authority and credibility without putting people down, educate them without putting them down, tell them that this is a cyclical nature. You've dealt with this before. You know, understand that, look, I developed systems to efficiently knock out these projects for you. Other people who are new in their businesses may not understand the ideology of systems and efficiency and staying on time and how everything backs up against that. And this guy's going to sit there and go, yeah, I know. Yeah. Right? You want to hit those pain points that you know can potentially happen and say, look, cool, go try the other guy. If you showcase any insecurity that someone else is flying, you're done. You're dead. Walk out the door because you're screwed, right?
Humble confidence.
It does. Yeah. It's quite a reluctant mixture. Hero, I believe is what it's called.
That too. Yep.
That being
awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. We really went down. I'm just repeating myself. We really went down the rabbit hole with this one. Don't forget, guys, if you have a question, go to askdroneu.com. And also, guys, you know what would really be awesome? Can you please leave us a review? We're up to almost 240 reviews on iTunes, and I would just really appreciate a review. If we've helped you out, please leave us a review or subscribe to the show and get them downloaded automatically to your phone. In addition, I do want to say our Austin mapping class is coming up. If you go to the website, go to thedroneu.com, scroll down to that wheel, click events, click more info, And then you'll go to November and you'll see, and by the way, we're going to change that page. So if you're like, wow, that's a lot of clicks just to go to a training, I agree. We're going to go to November, click the Austin training. The Austin training is going to be 3 days long. It's going to be a deep dive into PIX4D. We're going to go over on the first day understanding the relationship of drone mapping for image acquisition and image processing. We're going to go over some of the typical deliverables that you would see in drone mapping. We're going to showcase some of the drones that may be good for mapping certain projects. We're going to go into ground control points, what type of ground control points you should use, how to disperse them. We're going to talk about survey-grade equipment. We're also going to be talking about utilizing scale constraints, orientation constraints. We're going to help showcase how you can process maps without GPS information. We're going to showcase how can you actually tell how accurate your map is. We're going to go into that as well. And then the second day, we really go into image acquisition. So yeah, we go into, you know, mapping volumes. We go into mapping buildings. We go into facade reconstruction. We go into complex areas and large data set and large areas. And then the third day, we bring it back in. We run a couple more exercises. We really go deep into checking and validating the accuracy of the maps, how to get volumetric measurements, how to get linear measurements. On top of all those cool measurements and everything, we're going to show you how to edit an orthomosaic. We're going to showcase how to set the, the density of the orthomosaic. We're also going to showcase how to edit surfaces on the DSM and why that's so important for doing certain types of like watershed analysis and mapping.
Dang. So come ready to learn. Rest up.
I think, did you see the review that Bruce put out yesterday?
No.
He was like, he's like, don't joke around. He's like, I went in there happy and giddy. He's like, you need to have your listening ears on because every sentence has detailed information.
Yeah.
And that's correct. Like that, yes, Bruce, like, thank you. Go in there, ears open, like tune out the world. Otherwise, you're not going to learn it.
Seriously, you want to go rested, mind and body.
Yes. And you know, for a lot of people who are like, oh, but I can take the online course and everything. And I think Howell's getting pretty close to done with the San Diego mapping course, the new mapping course that's going to replace the older, less dense course, which although it was cool, we shot it in, you know, baseball stadiums and whatnot. The level of detail that we know now is just astronomically larger. And we're excited to share that with you so you guys can maintain the competitive advantage for yourself.
Indeed.
On that bombshell, that's going to do it for my talkative episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.